Welcome to District 32 Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Campbell, and it's my absolute pleasure to interview each of our members so you can get to know them just that little bit better.
Now, all of us like to have some sort of control in our businesses, and we're not saying that we need to be stalking our staff. And we're not saying that we should put little GPS locator beacons on the back of their heads the minute they walk through the door, or put little barcodes on them which reads, goes bleep bleep when you walk through the door so you know exactly where in your building. But it is nice to have some sort of idea about perhaps where your fleet is or where your assets are. Today we've got two gentlemen here from a company called Black Box Control, who've got a whole stack of solutions that may be able to help you with that sort of thing. They are Mark and Gerard. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello.
Thank you.
There we go. See, I told you I'd get him to talk. Okay, cool. So, tell us, Black Box Control, it sounds all kind of mysterious and very, very secret.
Well, we offer a range of services and devices that can be fitted to vehicles, and that allows for a someone in an office to see where their fleet is and understand that they're at a job or near to a job and can be redeployed, reallocated to a different location, or no reason to call them to find out that they're still at the prior job and perhaps allocate a different vehicle to a new request that might come through. There are a number of other benefits, that the fleet can be better maintained, and a whole range of ways just to have a good idea of what's going on, that include temperature, all kinds of access to the vehicle. We can tell if someone's going to the boot of the vehicle, if that's a requirement. For example, you might have specialized tools.
Okay. So it's not just a case of stalking your staff.
No, stalking the staff is usually the last thing that any person deploying our solution is motivated by. That will quickly evaporate in any conversation, because it becomes really, how will it benefit my business, mm-hmm. and where will I get a return on my investment by deploying and seeing where people are, so we can deal more effectively.
Okay. So I must admit, I'm a geologist by trade many, mm-hmm. many moons ago. And we didn't have that sort of technology. I mean, obviously it was a number of moons ago. But what we did have was a database with all the good bakeries in it. So we used to go to the database, and when we needed a map for an area, we would go and you put the roads and you'd pick what layers you needed, one of which mm-hmm. was bakeries. So we had the good information about that, and information was king. And if you went to a new area for exploration and you didn't check out the bakeries and didn't take that metadata back to the database, that was just considered completely and utterly unacceptable. So can you use this data system that you're talking about from a vehicle point of view and link it into perhaps databases like that?
Yes, you definitely can. It's very common for a business to enter all of their customers or their suppliers or, you know, whatever their nature of work is, mm-hmm. to record it. And when you look at the movement of a vehicle, it can tell you that it was a customer A, then you might move to customer B, and frequent sites, so whether it's bakeries or whether it's the favourite lunch bar, and those places can be marked and referenced for positive or perhaps negative if somebody's spending too long at one of those locations.
47 minutes at the bakery starts to flash.
It could be the case, you know, or you can make contact with them to get some sort of frequent purchasing scheme in place for the staff. You know, you can count how many times or how long is your fleet is spending there.
Right, so the McDonald's on the corner of Belmont Road, is you wanted to some sort of negotiate some sort of bulk discount for coffee, is that?
We're often going up there and saying, look, you know, a lot of our customers are spending their time there, but yeah, the concept is that you can certainly tell where people are spending their time, and more commonly this type of technology helps the driver, because rather than just hearsay that they might claim that I was caught up somewhere, it can actually be seen that they were at the customer and they're not accused of being at a bakery when, in fact, they were at a legitimate place, if I can phrase it that way.
Right, okay. So is it just vehicles that you can monitor?
So vehicles are certainly the most common category that we deal with, but it really can be anything. We have a range of solutions delivered recently on tubs for transporting refrigerated products,
okay.
toolboxes, and through to things like beehives even.
Beehives rock. We know this. This is a good thing. We'll get to beehives in just one moment. I could talk about beehives for hours, so we'll hold ourselves back.
Okay.
Well, let's use beehives as an example. Yeah. Is that about saying, I know that this particular item, be it a beehive, be it a tub, be it a generator, lighting plant,
yep.
I know that it's still where I left it, or it's at a particular location, no one's decided that they need it more than I do, and it's on its way to Bunbury. Is that how that works?
So the way that we break it down is you'd have a fixed asset and then you have moving assets.
Okay.
And what you want to monitor on each of those, obviously a fixed asset you would want to know, has it moved on its own accord and is it on its way down to Bunbury? Because that's something which we do need to know.
Yes.
Or on the other circumstances as well is you can get a bit of information from that, things like engine hours. So mm-hmm. you know, oh, it's coming up, I need to start servicing that generator or that lighting tower. So there's a kind of two sides to the coin. They're not just theft. You can get more things out of a fixed or a moving asset.
Okay, so you said something about engine hours. So do you mean with a lighting plant, your technology can go, it's running or it's not?
Yes.
Okay, so I know if a lighting plant, say at the corner of Abernathy and whatever road is being used or it's just parked there and not required for 3 days.
Yes, so you can set it up to say it's going to be working on the ignition. And then basically when they kick it on, it's going to say it's active or inactive, so you can understand that it's going to be in use or not.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can have other things in there, as I said, the engine hours, or you can even link it to things like fuel, to a fuel sensor, to know how, you know, do we need to put fuel in it? Are the lights turned on? Has somebody gone off site and they've left the lights on?
That would sound, from a business owner's point of view, or just even a basic asset management point of view, that would sound really useful. So I know where my gear is it where it's supposed to be? Is someone still at the bakery? Have they swung past McDonald's for the 7th coffee today? And it's not a Big Brother thing. It's about a general, well, when it comes to your duty of care, people have an obligation from a staff point of view to ensure that their guys are actually okay, that they're not overworked, that you can reassign people.
Yeah.
And just even from a workflow point of view, that sounds like a really sensible option.
It is. So it really gives that insight to, is work, or you know, the work function occurring as it should do?
Mm.
And is everything going to plan? And then it overlaps into an environmental aspect. For example, a generator or a lighting tower running at a time when everyone's disappeared.
Mm.
And perhaps there's a complaint. Some customers even remotely want to turn it off.
Okay.
And that can save them fuel and complaints and the inconvenience of driving to it, because you can just press a button on the software.
Okay. So if I've just understood right, you've said that you can put a piece of technology on my lighting plant,
mm-hmm.
or whatever, that not only tells me when it's running, when it needs to be serviced, and how effectively it's working, but if some numpty's left it on, I can then turn it off from my computer.
That's very nice.
Can I turn it on from my computer? So say I'm controlling an intersection for whatever reason, and I need to have the things turn on and turn off, obviously nighttime, daytime. Does that mean I don't have to send a crew member out there to do it? I can do it from a remote base?
Yes, that's possible. So we really can tailor the solution for anybody's needs,
mm-hmm.
and then just give them a button to press on the software, so perhaps even from your mobile, be at a barbecue on the weekend and still be running your work from the convenience of your hand.
Now that's running a small business. I'm on the golf course and I can do what I need to do. Perfect. And I can tell if my apprentice is at the bakery. That's spot on. So what sort of applications have you had with this technology? Is it just ginormous mining clients, or is it small business owners? Who's interested in this?
Well, the answer is that it's a very broad range. So we target commercial enterprises,
mm-hmm.
and we have a range of solutions from the big end of town right through to the small and medium size business, government and other specialist requirements. So we certainly deal with the big mining operators. Up north, the railway environments in the Pilbara use our technology with very advanced GPS and communication technologies, very specialised projects, through to the solutions that we've touched on in some ways already.
Okay.
So somebody with a fleet of vans or utes will still find value, and naturally have products that suit that that requirement,
mm-hmm.
different to the big mining people with their fancy needs. We kind of have
he's imagining a mining supervisor sitting in his in his house at Tom Price, turning on and off the lighting plants as the trucks move around. You know.
Yep, it certainly can be possible, but they tend to need bigger and better because of the scale of their operation.
Yeah,
and in some ways, the remoteness presents the challenge that we need to have satellite communications,
mm-hmm.
where people operating around built-up areas may be more fortunate to have cellular, which is a lower cost operating environment. So, yeah, really customers, Gerard, go from very small, one or two vehicles, right up into the hundreds.
Mm. Very okay. much so.
So just on that, how big is Black Box as a company?
Well,
am I looking at its staff?
No, we have 15 permanent staff and then a number of contractors, and we use a wide network across the whole country of third-party installers that we maintain on our register, and a number of people that assist us with sales and support as far away as New Zealand. We have units deployed in Brazil. So we really have an established network to support and help customers out there to get the most out of the solution. So mostly the software is supported from our Perth-based office. And then, we really know how to use the phone, email, and online support, as well as local support and expertise. So we certainly travel to where our customers are as well.
Okay, so what I'm hearing here is we've got a small business, Perth-based, that is servicing a ginormous international clientele, including some of the biggest mining companies in the world.
Yes.
Great job. How do you do that? What gets in the way? Because the number of times, and it drives me bonkers, the number of times I hear other small, because we also work for those big mining companies, mm-hmm. and we're a tiny business. And the number of times I hear people go, oh, I couldn't possibly work for them because I'm too small. What would you say to that?
Well, certainly we found that anything's possible. It is a case of applying yourself to ensure that you meet the standards of the big organizations. So we identified that we should become certified by a body called Transport Certification Australia, mm-hmm. Shortened as TCA. So we have a number of our solutions are certified to meet a performance, security, and various operational requirements. And we've also undertaken to align with the quality management system. And we're building what's known as an IMS, Integrated Management System, to show that we meet the standards that are aligned with the big giant organisations and number of government bodies. So it's really, I guess, investing into the right areas, which are good for the business, good for your approach to the big organisations. But more than anything, what we've learned is it's about exceptional service. And we really, no problem is too big. We'll find a solution and do all the running around. And
so this was a deliberate decision you made to go after these guys as big clients, or these big guys as clients?
Yes, we identified that there was a challenge around getting information from assets in remote places particularly. So we applied ourselves to developing and learning about technology that would make that possible.
So you effectively identified where you wanted to be, and then you reverse engineered how to get there.
Yes.
So you went from a teeny tiny little company with an idea to playing internationally with the big guys. Fantastic.
Sounds really good.
It does. Well, that's what you're telling me. Okay, so what was the biggest barrier to actually making that first call or getting that first point of engagement?
Getting some form of proof of credibility is, so certainly when we first attended a meeting with the big guys, it was a case of, by the way, bring it and put it on the table.
You feel like you need to take every member of your organisation, so there's 10 of you arrive going, look, we really know what we're doing, even though the three on the end are actors, right?
Yep. We didn't go quite that far, but yes, along those lines, yeah.
Okay, so how did you get that first meeting?
I guess, like most things in life, there was a bit of fortuitous good luck and the moons aligned in some ways.
Yep, the harder you work, the luckier you get. I get it.
But we were trying to make our luck. And yes, we identified that there was a challenge. And certainly the way that the conversation started versus what was deployed in the end changed dramatically from that first engagement. But yep, there was a problem identified. We said, yep, no problem. But the call ended, as I mentioned a fraction earlier, that the bring it with you and put it on the table. And so they wanted that credibility, I guess they could detect they were dealing with new people. Something. Or an early stage company.
Yep.
And so between the time of making that arrangement and then actually going to the appointment, there was an awful lot of running around and borrowing and joining things together.
Some serious work going on.
Some serious work occurred, late nights and so forth. And went along, and I did have the solution in my briefcase.
In your hot little hand, yep.
And wasn't going to bring it out unless I had to, but certainly the meetings, after meet and greet, it was, by the way, we did have an agreement you'd put something on the table.
Yep.
And I had to put it there, and it was looked at, and I sat there going, and then, it obviously satisfied enough for us to engage in a real conversation.
Mm. And that's what I found working with these large companies,
yep.
Is they're happy to take a risk, provided you're happy to take that risk with them.
Yes.
And that you're honest and you're clear along the way.
Yep.
So did the technology exist in the form it's deployed before you had that conversation?
We used elements of stuff that did exist, but then we added on stuff that,
you made
that
it up,
weird,
didn't you?
Weird interface things together that hadn't been done before.
Cool.
And we were definitely pushing the boundaries somewhat, but it is what they asked for, and we didn't have to wonder could they afford to do it. Obviously, our dreams were coming true. You know, even having the meeting in the first place, it really opened our eyes to the big wide world.
Fantastic. Mm. So, how did you get to that point? I mean, you didn't just go, hang on a minute, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to go into ginormous mining companies and ta-da, this is our amazing product. So, what were you doing before you got there?
We basically, there was a number of people that were involved in starting up Black Box Control. And we came largely from a communications background. And certainly the days that I'm thinking of were you made a telephone call and you spoke to people. It wasn't common to have email, and SMS didn't exist. And it wasn't
that long ago.
It was a while back, and you couldn't use your mobile phone really to access the internet, except for if you hooked up your computer to it with a cable. Then we were aware technology was going to evolve to include something called packet data, which is what we all commonly use now to access the internet. So it means you don't have to pay by time; you pay a little bit for usage of, e.g., browsing the internet, mm-hmm. and that really suited having live transmission of data from units in the field. And when we started, we thought it would be a mobile communications business, getting messages to or from things or people. And then it really evolved to GPS tracking is the way that many people would understand what we're talking about, right. And sending that information through. So we started by looking for trucks. They were an obvious target. The trucks are big and valuable and frequently moving. People need to know where they are and what speed they're doing. And is the engine still working, and whatever other aspects.
Are they at the bakery? Yep.
And are they at the bakery? And that evolved to some smaller vehicles, some work on vessels, and just across a number of industries mm-hmm. that were all very, very interesting until that moment arrived to deal with the big mining people that really let us grow from being very small to being the size that we are today.
So it's a journey in recognising how the industry around you is changing and adapting to
exactly.
how you go.
Exactly, yep, and keep your eyes, ears open, keep learning, and then look for the opportunity.
And I guess as the tech evolves, you stay up to date with it and you work out how you can add that bit of there to what you've got here and come up with magic solutions.
And our customers never stop asking for the most unusual, surprising things that you can ever imagine.
So is that you're the Harrods of Black Box, of technology? You ask for it, we'll find it for you, we'll build it for you, we'll buy you a tiger if you need to?
Yes, I think we'll go there. We do have a product we call the Can Do, because we haven't found anything it can't do.
Oh, fantastic. Brilliant. Okay, so that's the techie side of things. You've joined the company recently, Gerard, and what do you do?
So I was brought on 12 months ago. Mm-hmm. And I guess it was the company had evolved to a stage where it could look at bringing on another salesperson.
Okay.
So I was just primarily brought on board to start exploring and looking for new opportunities for the company, focusing more on that smaller to medium-sized business. So for the last 12 months, I've really been focusing on those areas. Still coming across some big companies here in Perth, mm-hmm. Especially in the higher machinery side. So that's been my primary focus, and then about 6 months ago I moved more to an account management where my portfolio grew to a reasonable size that I could actually start doing some account management as well as still focusing on sales.
Cool. So have you always worked in sales?
No. Originally I've got a trade in spray painting.
Of course. Very important if you need to change the colour of the black box. Got it.
I think that's actually why they brought me on board.
Well, so you could make the black boxes red.
We could change it if we need to.
Nice.
It was a bit of a transition of in a field, it was a dying trade, machinery was taking over, looking into something else that I wanted to do.
And you can see that because you're pushing 60 now, how quickly that, I mean.
Yeah, the pain does take a toll.
I mean, you could have what 22 if you were a day. How do you work in an industry that's suddenly transitioning so fast?
A lot of it was when I decided to make a change from spray painting, I went and did a diploma in marketing mm-hmm. and I did quite fancy being a part of a business and watching it grow. I've always been around technology, so you've always got some idea of technology. And I actually had a friend who was in the GPS tracking industry.
Right.
So I worked with him a little bit, just in the background, helping him with more marketing, and I started to get a bit of a taste of what GPS tracking was all about. Unfortunately, he sold his business and he moved away. But luckily enough, there was an opportunity at Black Box, which had raised up And after learning a little bit about, you know, what exactly is GPS tracking, because a lot of the time you get the question, you know, oh, I have GPS tracking on my phone, which is kind of true, but not exactly what we do. Yep. And kind of understanding, you know, exactly what just a little black box can do and the capability of it and how you can solve all these problems. It was a kind of finding a new hobby for me and something which piqued my interest.
Right. Okay, so making the transition into obviously the techie type thing, and let's face it, your generation is kind of techie anyway, unlike our generation. So there's a natural affinity for that.
Definitely.
Bringing someone who specialises in the marketing side of things adds a dimension, we assume, to a business. How much of a difference has it made having someone who can just concentrate on finding new business? What difference has that made to Black Box as a whole, Mark?
It's been really good to have the ideas and enthusiasm to go out there and find new contacts, new prospects that want to know more about our products and solutions.
Because it's so easy to work frantically on, you know, in your business, and you don't have that half a step back to work the on. And I guess you get to a certain stage where you need an on as well as an in.
Yes.
Okay, and is that made...
Yep.
It's a huge difference.
It does. Has made a huge difference. Gerard's meeting new people all the time and selling to industries and new challenges that come back for us to integrate or connect to something new. There's always good challenges, and the fact that he's out there doing it and we're back there building it with the rest of the crew does work really well.
Be honest, has he come back and gone, hey, I've got this great idea. I've met a client who needs a widget which does a this and a that and can do a, can you do it? And you go, you want to do what?
We'll get back to you on that one tomorrow, Gerard. And I believe we do always get back to him with a way that we can do it. Yeah. But it does present new challenges, yes.
Let me think on that. And it needs to be orange. So biggest challenge at doing what you're doing at the moment?
Is... I guess addressing such a wide range of requirements from different people, we're trying to find a way to package what's very complicated in an easy to understand way for customers or potential customers to understand what we can do. Because spending a lot of time to drill down to what a big giant mining company wants to do and they're willing to pay for that is one thing. And when we deal with a smaller operation, we're mindful that the cost, just like for ourselves when we buy in things, we need to be aware that you're not going to sit there and have week-long projects to decide what to put into that asset and how to tweak this one or what colour to repaint the other one.
And you've got the right man to do it.
That's why, you know.
Yeah. So is it a bit, your relationship between your mining clients, your large, big budget clients, and maybe your smaller clients, is that a similar sort of relationship that the, say, the medical industry have got to the video gaming technology? So video gaming has the money to invent these amazing things, and then the medical industry, you know, obviously benefits from that, like 3D printing.
Yes.
That was something which had nothing to do with the medical industry. Invented in the gaming world, they got, hang on a minute, I can print knees. Excellent. So are you finding that relationship
Most
between
definitely.
Your smaller and larger clients?
Yeah, definitely is the case. The developments that we've done up in the north of the state, for example, are applied down here in Perth or in Bunbury or any other regional centre, where we've been able to recover the development costs and get a good plan of how to deploy it in an affordable way for a smaller operation. So definitely is the case.
Fantastic. So working with you guys as a business, if I'm a tiny, teeny, tiny business, you can still come up with solutions because you can leverage off this broader experience.
Exactly. It's all packaged into an affordable per asset cost or whatever makes sense for the customer.
Brilliant. Okay, so if we've got people who are looking to manage fleets, manage their items, work out where everybody is, what they're doing, maybe improve their workflow because they can see that my plumber is already at this building and therefore I need to send plumber B to somewhere else or maybe reschedule that client, what's the best way they can get hold of you guys?
Well, I give you my direct number and just ask for Gerard directly. Don't worry about anybody else.
Just talk to Gerard. Okay, so this is secret science here for all of our listeners. Gerard, go.
So look, there's many ways that you can get in contact with us. Even if you go to the website and flick us through an email, you can contact me through my email address, which is on the District 32 website. You can call me directly on 0472-809-595.
I'm glad it didn't start with a 0055, but you carry on.
Of course, if not, you can call the office if you can't get a hold of me.
Okay, cool. And then they people can catch up with you. You drink lots of coffee, which is fantastic.
Always
talk about what the problems they might be facing, and then you guys can kind of see if you can help.
It's always a good point to start as what is the problem? What do you want to solve? GPS tracking isn't the end all and be all. There's sometimes it's more education for a user, or GPS tracking is just part of the solution. So it's a lot of having a chat with an owner or with an operations manager, whoever it might be, taking on board that project, and really sitting down, having a detailed discussion about, you know, what it is that you want and is it a realistic target.
Okay, so coming to you with a problem is quite reasonable. I don't have to be able to tell you what I want.
Not always. Sometimes there's a bit of investigating to find out exactly, you know, what is your problem. Some people really, you know, they go, oh, yeah, I just want to, just in case it gets stolen. And then when you actually start delving a bit deeper, you find out that actually, oh, on a maintenance site, I'd love to know, you know, how many Ks they've done or you know, oh, what time they're getting to and from site. That'd be really good for invoicing services, actually. Oh, I never even thought about any of that.
So have the conversation is your advice?
Always have the conversation.
Yes.
Brilliant. Okay, fantastic. So get hold of you, have the conversation. You can work out what the heck's going on, Gerard, and then you can tell Mark what he has to do with the rest of his day.
That's the way it goes.
Fantastic. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on District 32 Radio. If you'd like to know more, please head across to our website, district32.com.au.